So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, we will read it together. One of my favorite narratives of the birth story of Jesus. We're going to read verses 8 through 20. Let me know that you're there by saying there this morning. And if not, if you don't have a Bible with you, you can follow along on the screen there in front of you. But this is what the word of the Lord says, right? Jesus the Christ had just been born. And we see here in verse 8 what happens after that. It says this, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts," right? Hundreds, possibly thousands of angels here, "praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" And verse 15, "And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Entitled the message simply this morning, "Joy, Unspeakable Joy." Joy, unspeakable joy. Based on what we see here in the text, right, it is a good reminder for us in here today that in Christ, man, we can walk in joy this Christmas season. So why don't we pray together? And we'll dive in. Lord, we love you. We thank you. God, we thank you for the fact that you did come to our rescue. God, when we called on your name, Lord, you saved us. Made us right with you, Lord. And because of that reality, we can walk in joy this Christmas season, even though the circumstances around us maybe preaching to us to do otherwise. God, help us, Lord, to understand why we can walk in joy this season. Lord, speak to us. Meet with us here. Lord, and may we choose to be folks that leave different than the way we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joy, unspeakable joy. Whenever I think of joy, I think of one of my buddies who just, him and his wife just recently had a baby. Talked about this last week, or a couple weeks ago, the whole gender reveal thing, how it's real popular amongst, you know, my generation of folks. And my buddy, right, they did a big gender reveal. At this time, they knew, he knew his wife was pregnant. They were waiting to have a child, but he wanted a boy real bad. And so they set up a whole big deal, had it, you know, Facebook live streamed, had about 100 folks there, and they had a couple of balloons, right? One balloon held the blue confetti, the other one held the pink confetti. And, you know, whenever they busted, right, or, you know, they threw, I can't remember what it was. It might have been they threw like a little arrow or something at it. They threw it at the correct one, right, and it ended up being blue confetti that came out of that balloon. And I'll never forget, right, my buddy's response to that. I don't know if I've ever seen a man run faster than he ran. Whenever he saw the confetti come out, that blue confetti come out, he sprinted about 100 yards, right, in one direction, hooping and hollering, shouting for joy, right, and then came back and was super excited, and everybody around him was thrilled, right? He had a true sense of jubilation, if you will, and excitement about what had taken place. And maybe you can relate, right? Maybe you're here, right, the experience of having, you know, your children, right? It brought about a sense of jubilation, right? The experience of you meeting the one whom your soul loves, right? Your forever spouse, right? That brings about a sense of jubilation and excitement, a sense of joy. But as we just read here, right, the news of Jesus is coming. It exceeds, right, the excitement and jubilation and joy that was experienced in those scenarios that I had just mentioned. Right, we see this joy that exceeds all of that. And because He came for us in Christ, man, we can walk in this same joy as well. Before we dive into, right, what it looks like for us to walk in joy, if you will, we've got to define it. We've got to define it. Because maybe you're like a whole lot of people that simply see joy as one that is circumstantial, right? Similar to what we talked about last week with peace, right? Maybe you think joy just ends at a sense of feeling of excitement and, you know, a sense of feeling of happiness, if you will. But biblical joy, as we read all throughout the scripture, is much more than that. It's much more than that. How do we know that? Well, because James tells us, man, to consider it all joy, even when we're going through tough stuff. Right? Joy goes beyond, right, how we feel or our emotion. And in studying the definition of joy, I came across one that I really feel as though it encompasses the definition. This is what I read. It says this: joy is a state of delight and well-being that results from knowing and serving God. A state of delight and well-being that results from knowing and serving God. Right? It's this deep inner sense of, man, delight and contentment. Right? That only comes from knowing God. Having a relationship with Him. It's not something that you can conjure up, right? It's more than just some kind of feeling or emotion, right? It's this deep sense of inner contentment. And because, like I said, Jesus has come, we can experience that today. We see it oozing all through Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 here. This morning, I want to walk through the two R's of joy that we see here in the scripture, right? That we could take with us and apply to our life, and we could walk out of here, right? Walking in joy in this Christmas season. The first R that we see here in the text is this: the reason for joy. The reason for joy. Verses 8 through 14 highlights that. The shepherds are in the field. They're doing their own thing, right? They're tending their flock, man, doing their job. And all of a sudden, man, an angel shows up and delivers this message, right? This good news of great joy, man. That's for all the people. And then a whole multitude of angels come up and start singing, man, glory to God in the highest. Right? Glory to God in the highest. We see the reason for joy, based on what we see there in the text, is, man, Jesus has come. He's come. He's the reason for the season. He is the reason for joy. The greatest news ever. Right? It's because of His coming to dwell, right, amongst men, right, to live among us. Die on the cross, man, and raised from the grave. It's because of that, man, we can walk in joy and experience joy in these days. You've got to understand that, hey, this Christmas season, you're not going to experience joy fixing your mind and your eyes on, you know, the stuff, right, that comes with Christmas, or the traditions that come with Christmas. Those are good. Hey, you know, buying gifts for your kids, man, that's great. Listen, hanging out by the fire, you know, by the Christmas tree, rocking around the Christmas tree. Some of y'all get that later. Hey, following all these traditions, man, hey, that's great and good. But man, you're not going to experience true joy, man, if you're just fixing your eyes on those things. You've got to understand, man, the reason for joy is Jesus Christ. The shepherds, man, are being told this good news of great joy, man, that Jesus has come. We see the angels here, right? They give a description of this good news. They give a description of this Jesus. They say, hey, this baby has been born. And they talk about what this baby looks like. Brother Cliff, it was more than just some ordinary baby. Hey, it was more than just some baby named Tom. Right? Or some baby named Sue, man. Hey, this baby was different. This one was different. And he goes on to, and the angels go on to describe, right, this good news. Man, he uses three terms to describe who this Jesus is. He uses the term Christ, first and foremost. That word Christ means the anointed one, right? The Messiah, the one who has been called to be king. Be king. This Jesus, right, this baby in a manger, this lowly baby in a manger is going to end up being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. More than just a baby. Man goes on to describe him. It's the anointed king sent from God to deliver us. Secondly, we see the angel describe this baby as Savior. Savior. Now we know that term Savior, it was used, you know, oftentimes, right, in back in that day, right, for a whole host of things. We even use Savior oftentimes, many times here today. I've used it a lot. You know, I've used it whenever, you know, my Cowboys were down six, you know, in the football game, and we needed somebody to make a play. Someone makes a play, and I'm like, man, hey, that dude saved us, man. He's Savior. Savior. But hey, no, this Savior's someone different. Hey, this Jesus who came, right, as a baby, man, was going to save sinners. This Jesus that came as a baby was going to die on a cross to redeem, right, to bring back, to buy back those that were far from him and reconcile them to back into a relationship with God. This baby was different. Savior. And what he was going to do right in his life, go to the cross, was going to pay for your sin and my sin. 1 John 2:2 says this, he was our propitiation, our wrath absorber, our payment, our atonement for our sin. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. It's on the screen here. It's Savior described here. Paul says this, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What he was going to do is finished work. Man, he's going to grant us victory. For sin, death, and the grave, for those of us who know him, more than just a baby. Then we see the angel describe this child as Lord, meaning this, absolute ruler, right? Sovereign ruler over all the earth. But that word Lord was used oftentimes in the Old Testament as another name for God, right? We see that this baby was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, friends, he was more than just a baby. This description of the good news. And here it is. Here's the application, the takeaway for us in here this morning. You've got to understand the importance of having a right depiction of this Jesus, a right understanding of who he is. Hey, because it's having that right understanding of who he is, that's going to lead us, right, to be folks that worship him, to walk in joy in this season. Do you have a right understanding of who Christ is?
No.
Because that's what leads us to worship him and to walk in joy. We see the description of the good news, but also we see the destination of the good news. See the destination of the good news. Where was this? Who was this news for? Where was it going to? The shepherds, right, were the first folks to hear that Jesus Christ had been born. Now, whenever you think of the shepherds, right, a lot of us, you know, sadly have a misconception of, a wrong depiction of who the shepherds of the first century were. A lot of them, you know, whenever you think of shepherd, you think of that Sunday school teacher you grew up with that dressed up as a shepherd, as y'all sang carols, you know, walked around and sang carols, or, you know, the cartoons of shepherds as nice, you know, super holy people. Those weren't the shepherds of the first century at all. Right? They were known as rugged people. Now, obviously, they had some, you know, caring tendencies, obviously, as they cared for the sheep, but they were rugged people, man. They were rugged. They were known as some of, man, the lowest of the low in Jewish culture. Dregs of society. As a matter of fact, Brother Ryan, these Jews couldn't even worship in the temple. Because they were deemed unclean because of their work, their occupation, what they did. They couldn't even go and worship the Lord at the temple. Yet the good news went to them first. Oh, this is good. This is good. Hey, the destination of the good news, man. It says here in the text that this news, right, is for all people. It's for all people. What does that mean? Hey, God is no elitist. He didn't just come, man, just for the rich. He didn't just come for those that were put together. He didn't just come, man, for those that have been in church their whole life. He came for all people. He came for all. And his finished work on the cross, man, provided a way for any who choose to turn from their sin and trust in him to receive this everlasting life. Man, this news came to all. Man, the reason for joy is, man, the news came for all people. It came to even little old me, little old you. You know the verse, but I'll go ahead and read it. Anyway, John 3:16, right, affirms this reality. Jesus saying this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, the news of the fact that, man, the gospel came to you. That you, man, had a chance to respond and come to faith. Hey, that should never grow old in our hearts. Understanding that reality ought to lead us to be folks that walk in this joy, this deep-rooted contentment. Man, because of what Jesus has done in our heart and life. The news of the gospel is news that brings unspeakable joy. The reason we're able to have joy in this season is because Jesus Christ has come, man. The greatest news in history. The fact that our sins can be forgiven. No matter how far away we are from God. And we can walk in right standing with God again. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so for that reason, hey, we can walk in joy today. The reason for joy. Hey, Jesus Christ has come. He came. Came and died for you. Right, we see the first R, the reason for joy. But we see the second R as well. We see the response to joy. It says after the angels, man, they left. In verse 15, the shepherds probably dumbfounded like we've talked about throughout, man. I mean, if I'm just hanging out at nighttime working and all of a sudden a whole bunch of angels show up and start singing, I'd be shaken up too. I'd be like, man, maybe I need to go check out and see what's going on there. And that's exactly what the shepherds did, man. It said that they went out and they said, hey, man, we ought to check out what we just heard here. We ought to check out this message and see what's going on. We see there was a response to the news coming. Response to the news coming. With the arrival, right, of this news, right, sparking up joy, we see a few responses here. Right, that we ought to look to and choose to respond as well, to follow the example of. We see a few responses here in the text to joy. The first response is this. We see the response to choose to seek. Choose to seek. Like I said, the shepherds, man, as soon as they saw and heard the news, man, they couldn't help but to go and check it out. They couldn't help but to seek out what the angel said, who this baby was about. They couldn't help but to go and see. And the same way our response, man, ought to be to choose to seek out the Lord. Hey, maybe this Christmas season, you're one of those folks that's pretty skeptical, right, of God, who He is. Right, you're skeptical of what you've read. I guarantee, hey, if you choose to seek Him out, man, you will find Him. Hey, maybe you're in here and you know Jesus, man, but it's been a long time since you've heard His voice. Right, and because of that, you hadn't been able to walk in joy in this season. Hey, guarantee you, if you choose to seek Him with all your heart, man, you'll find Him. You'll hear Him. He will respond. Our response to joy in this season ought to be to choose to seek Him. Choose to spend time with Him. Seek Him with our whole heart. Jeremiah 29:13. That's what the prophet says. Hey, this is the Lord speaking, you know, in Jeremiah 29 says this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your
heart.
Pastor Justin, I think perhaps that's the problem sometimes. You know, we're not able to walk in joy because, man, we say we seek God, but it's not really with our whole heart. Practically speaking, man, hey, you may be seeking God, but also scrolling down social media at the same time. That's not seeking God with your whole heart. Or seeking more so his hand rather than his heart. Seeking what he can give you. Jeremiah says, man, seek God. When you seek him with your whole heart, you'll find him. Isaiah 55:6 says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Hey, friend, man, he's near to us. Near to us. So this morning, man, hey, our response to the fact that the news has come, response to the fact that we have joy is to seek him with our whole heart. We ought to seek him like the shepherds did. The second response to joy we see here is this. The choice to share. Second response we see here is choosing to share. Look back at the text. Make sure you know I'm not making it up. Shepherds, man, they went out in haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And it says, verse 17, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Man, when they saw that, hey, the baby there with Mary and Joseph, they couldn't help but to share with everybody around them who this child was, what they had heard from the angels. Reminds me of that old quote from Robbie Gowdy, right, pertaining to the good news, right? The good news, the gospel of Christ, it came to us because it was going to somebody else. Right, the response for us, because we've experienced this joy that comes from, right, a relationship with God, it should be to, man, share that news with others. Should be to share that news with others. It ought to fire us up. The fact that we belong to Jesus, and we ought to have a desire, man, with our whole heart to share that news with others. I believe I've shared it before, but I'll go ahead and share it one more time. You know, I've said before, you know, I'm a huge sports nerd. That's, you know, kind of my thing. Love watching sports, talking sports, play sports. And I remember, you know, fangirling one time. I saw, you know, a pretty famous athlete here in Clarksville at a local coffee shop. I'll never forget it. I walked in and, you know, saw the guy standing at the cash register. I was like, man, he looks really famous. He looks real familiar. I've seen him somewhere. Just went and sat down, didn't really think much of it because I didn't want to be one of those people. You know, Nick, you know how some of those people, man, are super fangirly, man, want to go and talk to, you know, all those folks getting autographs. I didn't want to be that guy. And so I said, you know, I'm going to play it cool. I'm going to go sit down. Well, that lasted about 5 minutes. I said, you know what? I got to go talk to him. I got to go figure it out. As I'm sitting there getting ready to get up, I made known in my mind, I said, okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's him. Looked a lot like Brett Favre, the famous Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm sure it was him. I said, you know what, I gotta go talk to him. But by the time I got up to go and talk to him, he had already left. And so I was, you know, sad. I talked to the baristas. I said, hey, was that guy that was here, was he famous? Like, nah, I don't really know. We don't know. We'll check for you and stuff. Well, long story short, we come to find out, you know, he was super famous. And so whenever it was validated in my mind, right, that whenever I was told that it indeed was Brett Favre, that truth was validated, you know the first thing that I did? I paused the meeting that I had at the coffee shop and made a couple of phone calls to some of my other sports buddies and told them how I had seen Brett Favre. And they're like, oh, man, dude, that's awesome. You got a chance to see Brett Favre. You talked to him? I was like, yeah, man. You know, I said, excuse me as I walked by him, you know. But I got a chance to talk to him. I mean, it was great. We had a full-blown conversation. It was awesome. But here's the thing, I couldn't help but to share. I couldn't help but to tell them the fact that I had seen the Brett Favre. And I told, you know, my friends, I said, man, I can't believe these guys didn't know that it was him, man. He had one of those copper fit bands, you know what I'm saying? You know, those little copper fit deals he promoted. He had one of those on while he's standing there. But I couldn't help but to share that in the same way, man. Listen, we've experienced, right, new life through Christ. Christ has brought us from death to life. Man, we ought to be pumped up and fired up to share that. Those that are around us. Those that are far from God. So they can experience the same hope we have experienced. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Man, we ought to be willing to choose to share. By the way, Brother Cliff, this is real convicting for me. You know, a lot of times whenever we talk about sharing the gospel evangelism, man, for me, I see it more as a chore than a delight. You know, I see it as more something I've got to check off my list instead of something that I get a chance to do out of joy, man, so I can one day see my friends come to know him. You know, may we choose to have the right mindset as we're walking with people, man, our friends and family that are far from God. May we not see sharing, right, the good news with them as a chore or as a duty. May we choose to see it as a delight, man. Simply stepping into their life and sharing what God has done for us. Now we can do that same thing for them. We see the second response is the choice to share. We see the third response here. The third response to joy was that of choosing to ponder. It says, after the shepherds shared, right, all that they had heard, right, about this Christ child, folks there were wondering, man, what's going on, man? Talking about, you know, Christ, man, is king. Is he gonna overthrow the Roman Empire? Man, we can't wait for that. You know, you hear all the conversations that are going on there. Folks are talking about what they had heard. But then it says Mary, right? She treasured up those things that she heard in her heart and pondered on those things. Brother Brian, I really believe that a lot of us struggle to walk in joy a lot of times because, man, we neglect, right, the call to ponder and reflect on the goodness of God and what he's done in our life. That's what Mary was doing here. She was reflecting upon, right, all that the Lord had done in her life. I can see it there, you know, nine months prior. Right, her just doing her own thing, and the message from the angel comes and said, hey, you're going to bear this Christ child. And her being able to see it come to fruition, see the faithfulness of God there. She's just sitting there just pondering all this, reflecting upon it. We live in a day where, you know, the call for us, right, is to just simply reflect on the negative. We see it in the news, right? Simply negative. Right? And it's almost like it's a subliminal preaching, if you will, for us to just focus on all the negative stuff in our life. When, as a matter of fact, no. We ought to be folks that choose to ponder and reflect on all that God has done in our life. Perhaps, man, you're struggling to walk in joy because, man, you've neglected choosing to ponder on the goodness of God and all of his blessings. It reminds me of that old song of the faith, Brother Adam. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. I love it. I'll go ahead and read a line here of it. Right? And it speaks to this reality of pondering. Right? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. And reflect on. Ponder upon what all God has done in your life. And I guarantee, hey, you're going to be able to walk in joy, even when it's hard. You're going to be able to walk in joy. Psalm 143:5, psalmist says this way, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. And I choose to ponder the work of your hands. And choose to ponder and reflect these days on the goodness of God. Then fourthly and lastly is this. The fourth response to joy we see here is the choice to praise. The choice to praise. It says in verse 20, the shepherds after that whole deal, man, they went away fired up, praising and singing songs, man, of all that they had seen and heard. And let me tell you, hey, the news that Jesus came, right, and saved you, man, ought to fire you up and lead you, right, to respond in praise. Lead you to respond in praise. Ought to lead you to choose to praise. Man, even though your circumstance in your life is telling you to do otherwise. Even though the walls are caving in your life, man, you ought to look to choose to praise. Because Jesus has come, we have a reason to sing. Because we've experienced true joy through the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We have a reason to worship. We have a reason to celebrate. So choose to do that. What that means, church, I'll just keep it simple, fifth grade language. Hey, because, man, we've experienced this joy, that's making the decision to choose to sing instead of sulk. Making the decision to choose to praise instead of pout. Making the decision to choose to celebrate rather than cut down those around you. And making the choice to sing. Psalm 147:1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The response to joy. As the band gets ready to come up, as they're making their way up this morning, we talk about joy, and a lot of folks have a lot of definitions. A lot of folks have a lot of questions pertaining to it, but the question about joy for all ages, it seems like, is this: where can true joy be found? Where's true joy found? How do you find it? Obviously, we talked about a little bit of that, but what's the answer to that question? Is true joy found in just simply choosing to live for this life, right? Choosing not to believe in God? Well, we know that that's not the case. Voltaire, right, a famous unbeliever of his time, towards the end of his life, he wrote this statement: I wish that I had never been born. Right? That's a statement from a man that doesn't seem like he possessed this true joy. Is true joy found in solely pursuing pleasure? Well, we know that's not the case. Lord Byron, right? A man who lived a life of pleasure, man, exceeding pleasure more than anyone else. At the end of his life, he wrote this: the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. Is true joy found in the accumulation of riches and possessions and stuff? We know that's not the case. Jay Gould, an American millionaire, man, he had all of that. And he said at the end of his life, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. Is it found in position or fame or accolades or accomplishments? We know that's not the case. A guy named Lord Beaconsfield wrote at the end of his life, after accumulating and accomplishing all these things, youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, and old age a regret. That doesn't sound like a guy that possessed joy, did it? Is it found in military glory, right? Some of our military guys are in here. Is it found in that? Well, we know that's not the case. Y'all probably heard of Alexander the Great. When he accomplished all the known world, it was documented that he hid himself in a room and started crying because there was no more earth to conquer. All that he had wasn't enough. Where then is true joy found? Well, as we talked about, it's found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. And here's the deal today. If you want to walk in that, it's choosing to set your eyes on Him. Choosing to understand what He has done for you. And understand in light of what He's done for you, choosing to respond accordingly. Man, choosing to seek Him with your whole heart. Hey, choosing to share the news with others. Hey, choosing to reflect upon those dark days, you know, those days when you're in the pit, choosing to reflect on all the great things He's done in your life. And then at the end of the day, choosing to praise Him anyway. May we be folks that choose to walk in this joy that we possess in Him today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to pray for us. And listen, as I pray, you respond. And we walk through the different ways you can respond today. Maybe you're in here and, man, you hadn't been able to walk in this joy that we talk about, this deep-rooted contentment and fulfillment in life, because you just haven't been seeking the Lord. Maybe your response is to say, God, hey, stir my affections for you more deeply. Give me a desire to seek you with my whole heart. Maybe you're in here and the reason why you hadn't experienced joy is because, man, you're a hoarder of the gospel. You're not sharing it with others. True joy comes, right? It's expressed whenever we share this news with others so that they can experience the same joy we have. Maybe it's asking the Lord for boldness to share. Maybe it's choosing to reflect upon, right, all the ways the Lord's been good in your life. Or maybe it's choosing to praise. I don't know where you are, but I'm going to pray for us. And as I pray, you do business with God. Whenever I say amen, we're going to stand and sing. The altar's open. You can come down and pray at the altar. I'll be down front if you need any extra prayer. Brother Cody Clark, our operations ministry, he's in the back. He'd love to pray with you if you need it. Brother Rick Bradley, our chairman of deacons, he's in the back. He'd love to pray with you. Let's meet with the Lord. Continue to meet with Him. And walk in this joy that we have through Him. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You for today, God. We thank You that God, this sense of true joy is possible. Walking in this joy is possible in You. God, we thank You for coming for all folks to make a way for anyone who chooses to repent and trust in You, Lord. I pray that those who hadn't today would make that decision. God, help us to be folks that respond to this joy that we have this Christmas season. And help us to understand we can walk in joy. Lord, we love You. We thank You. And we ask these things all in Your name. Amen.